Really, does it tell you what you really want to go do? Have y'all ever had that? And, you know, but we have to come to the place in life where it's, Lord, what do you want? What do you want us to do? You know, what do you want me to do for you? Not, well, Lord, what will you do for me? And so anyway, I've just been praying, and I came across this passage of Scripture here in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And John Michael, you're playing those songs tonight, and it's really a blessing because that is exactly the same spirit of songs that we used to sing 15 years ago when they were new songs 15 years ago. Y'all never heard them. And that's the new version of what we used to sing 15 years ago. And to see the same spirit and see that stuff coming around, seeing the music coming around, but it's always God saying the same thing, you know, come on. Come on with me. Come on, come on a little deeper. Come on, get in the river with me. Come on, let's go a little farther. Let's go, you know, a little deeper. And, you know, some people drowned. I just thought you might want to know that. You know, some people never get in. Some people only get their toe wet. Some people only get their ankles wet. Some people get knee deep, and some drown. And there's not really anything any of us can do about it, right? We just got to go on and follow the Lord. He says here in John chapter 20, it's an interesting chapter because that's when the resurrection happens. And you know how the story goes. You know, he goes to the tombs, not there, and Mary's there, and says, grabs hold of Jesus. Jesus says, "Don't get hold of me. And I'm going to ascend to my Father, and then I'm going to." You go back and tell everybody, I'm sending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He's about to open the doors to heaven for us, you know. At that moment, Jesus is going to ascend into heaven. He was going to pour his blood out upon the mercy seat. And then all of the wall that had been between us, the separation from us and Almighty God, was gone at that moment. He was going to go to heaven, and he was going to, you know. And so when he poured his blood out, it's all over. No more wrath of God. No more division between God and man. No more of anything that could hold us back from having the ultimate relationship we could ever want in life. When he poured that blood out, his blood out on that mercy seat, it was over. It was done. The wall was torn down. There's no separation. There's no remembrance of sin. There's no anything. It's all over with. It's all done. Anybody could come freely to the throne and talk to their Heavenly Father. Wow. What a scene it must have been in heaven. You know, those are the things that I want to see the DVD of. That's the things I want to really get to heaven and look at it and see, my gosh, how did that, what really happened in the courts of heaven when Jesus poured his blood out on the mercy seat? What did the angels do? What took place? You know, what joy and, you know, I mean, when you say joy and glory, but what, I mean, my gosh, can you only imagine what took place at that moment? And so then he tells Mary, they have their little conversation. And then in verse 19, he says, on the same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. You see that? When the doors were shut. When the doors were shut, when Jesus wasn't supposed to be able to get in, right? It says, and when the doors were shut. See, I feel like right now that people have the attitude that the doors have been shut. People right now in America have the attitude, well, the doors have been shut, it's all over with. But it's never over with until Jesus says it's over with. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what turmoil, what trouble, whatever problems can be going on in your life that seems so catastrophic and so overwhelming, The door is never shut when you have a relationship with Jesus, because He can walk through that. There's no door that can stop Him from touching your heart. There's no door, no wall, no barrier that Jesus can't walk through if you'll just let Him. And He says, I can't even see this. I don't know why I even brought this thing. It's terrible when you can't read your Bible anymore. And it says, in the same day, okay, and the door was shut, and they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, when you read the New Testament and the Old Testament, you got to realize there's two words for fear, okay? There's one word of fear that means terror, that means, you know, you scream, ah, you know, it's terror. And then there's fear that means a reverence, a holy reverence. So when it says fear the Lord, that's the holy reverence. That's where you say, oh my God, it's God. Jesus, I bow my knee to you. That's that fear, reverence, honor. But the other fear, fear of the Jews like this, means, ah, they're going to kill us. Oh my God, what are they going to do? We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to be in fear. Because I don't care what the door is. I don't care how big it is. I don't know how much iron's on it. Jesus walked through the middle of it. And they were shut the door because they were fear of the Jews. And when you get into fear, whatever the fear is in life, fear of intimidation, fear of the future, fear of finances, fear of life, fear of, you know, whatever the fear may be in your life, when you get into fear, it shuts the door and is trying to keep Jesus out. So the minute you think, oh my God, whatever, that's the wrong position to be in. The right position is, oh Jesus, I love you and I honor you, Lord, and I need you right now in my life. It's giving Him the fear, the reverence, the honor. Because when you bow your knee to fear, then you're shut the door. Okay? So it says, and Jesus came into the midst, and what does Jesus say to him? Peace. Now you got to understand something. Put yourself in the disciples' position. They'd followed Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd given up all of their businesses. They'd been scoffed. They'd been ridiculed. They'd seen miracles. Jesus had all these large crowds. They thought everything was going to go great. Then all of a sudden, they reduced to just small crowds of people. There wasn't a lot around them. And then all of a sudden, they just crucified the worst, most hideous death you could ever receive. Just crucified the leader, the guy you thought was the Messiah, the one that you thought was the King of Kings. All things pointed to that it was over with. The it's gone. It all pointed to that Jesus was not the Messiah. Right? It all pointed to that they gave up everything for nothing. Looked like we really picked a loser. That's what all natural circumstances and natural situations said. And Jesus just steps right in the middle. He comes through the door. He walks in there and He just says, peace. I mean, He is the Prince of Peace, and He's walked in and He's prophesied who He is. Peace. I'm here. Don't worry. I'm here. And they were so freaked out. Go to the next verse, please. 20. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, because He knew these guys were not going to really believe unless they saw who He was. Then the disciples were what? So they went from fear to glad just because Jesus got in the midst of them. Went from fear to glad just because Jesus got in the midst of them. If you want to go from fear to glad in your life, you have to get Jesus in the midst of you. You with me? If you're going to go from fear to glad, Jesus has to be in the midst of you. So that means every circumstance and every situation that may be in turmoil or out of array, you've got to get Jesus in the middle of it. If you get Jesus in the middle of it, you're glad. But you've got to get him in the middle of it. You can't get in fear. And see, what's happening to people is people are just falling into fear. And the fear shuts the door. Folks, I want to tell you something. I have people calling me right now that I have met like 10 years ago and have not even heard from them in forever. Couldn't even remember. They talked to them on the phone. It's like 3/4 of the conversation until I can figure out, now, who are you? That are calling me because they're in fear. What are you going to do? What's going on? I know that you'd probably be, you still serve the Lord. So what are we going to do? And I said, man, we're going to pray and we're going to preach. You know? And so, you got to get Jesus in the midst of it. All right? Now, if you'll go on to the 21. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also have sent you. Go to 22, please. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now hold on right there. Okay, Jesus is resurrected. He's gone to heaven. He's poured his blood out. He's come down. He's talking to his disciples. And the very first thing that he tells them, I mean, of any substance there, he's trying to get them on track. If you'll let me say it this way. He's trying to get them out of fear and out of this turmoil, and he's trying to get them on track because he's not going to be with them forever. And so he doesn't lay down the doctrine of baptism. He doesn't lay down the doctrine of anything, repentance, baptisms, communion serving. He doesn't set up all these things. He doesn't tell them, okay, now y'all need to go quickly do this. You don't need to, you need to get print the Bible, The very first thing that Jesus comes from the grave to tell us is that you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The very first thing he says, receive the Holy Spirit. First thing he said. Now, let me just quote the scriptures because I can't see them. If you go to John 14, and you look over there, what did he tell them? He said, look, I'm going to go away. And when I go away, I'm going to send the helper to you. So in other words, Jesus already knew in his mind. He already knew what was going on. He already knew. He said, I'm not going to be with you forever, but I got to send the one that is going to be with you forever until you die and go to be with me. And so I'm going to send him to him, but you got to know the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a relationship and you have to receive him. You have to get the Holy Spirit. You have to have an understanding and a knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Now, just hold that thought for a second. Let me jump over a little bit. We want to know why things aren't working right in the world or in the United States. And the reason why they're not working right is that we've taken God out of the equation and try to set up a standard for morality. But the problem is when you try to set up a standard, then we all argue about what's the standard, right? What's the etiquette? What's the standard? And this world and us humans were never intended to function under a standard of morality. Jeremiah 17 says that the heart of man is wicked. So if we're going to set up a standard for morality, we're going to put it down low. All right? Now, we're, 2 weeks out of the elections? And then we got scandal after scandal after scandal going on. Now the military, all involved in these scandals. And I look at it and you want to say, oh, that's just terrible, I can't believe they did that. But I look at it and say, yeah, I can understand it. You don't go to church. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't receive the Holy Spirit. You have no relationship with Him. You have no conviction in your life. You have no conviction in your life. You're going to do the wickedness that's within your heart. That's what there is. There's nothing left to do. They just acted like normal, lost men. You say, well, how do you know they're lost? If they're not, they ain't entered into much of a relationship with Jesus. Listen to me, and y'all have to understand this, because I think a lot of times Christians get into this place where you think there's something wrong with you if you have a bad thought. I have 100 bad thoughts in a day. On the good day. Do I act on those bad thoughts? No, because there's a conviction on the inside of me. I love Jesus. I know it's not right. I have the thought, and then what do I say? No, that's not the right way to. That's not godliness. I want to be godly, not godless. That's not the right way to operate. You can't do that. All right, I'm not going to do it. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to honor you. Fear the Lord. But if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then why wouldn't you just do whatever you want to do? It's only natural for people to act like beast when that's all that's on inside of them. There's no Holy Spirit to bring conviction. There's no Holy Spirit to talk to them. There's no Holy Spirit to help them. There's no Holy Spirit to deal with them. There's no Holy Spirit to help them move from one place to the next place. There's no Holy Spirit. It's just natural. You take God out of the equation. Okay? So what do we have to do? We got to get Him back in the equation. Nothing's going to work. Listen to me, nothing will work but Jesus and the Holy Spirit on the hearts of men and women. Nothing else works. Now, it's not like, well, it's the last resort we got, you know. No, it's the atomic bomb, Jesus. It's the great weapon, receiving the Holy Spirit in your life and then living tenderly, walking in life. Saying, oh, okay, Holy Spirit, is that you or me? Am I thinking crazy or is that you? The answer to what's going on in life is what Jesus just did. He walked in the midst of a place. He said, I want to paraphrase it a little bit. Chill out. Everything's okay. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to get into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, look, I think it's, you went to John 14. Go back to John 20. I think it's 22. Where we were. Yeah, go on. It's night that. Go on to 20. 21. 22. 23. If you forgive anyone the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. The next verse, he deals with two topics here. You need to receive the Holy Spirit and watch out for sin. Can I just paraphrase that in Robert Richards? Don't get tangled up in sin. Don't get caught up in that mess. Get rid of it. Don't hold on to nothing. Get rid of it. Why? What if you get up? You're going to have another voice whispering in your ear. You're going to miss the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit and sin go together like oil and water. Okay? If you're living a life that doesn't bring pleasure to God, then the Holy Spirit's not going to get involved in that. So therefore, you're left with just sin. and then what comes with it, right? But if you live a life, and I'm not talking about a life of being perfect, I'm talking about living a life of desiring to be godly, desiring to be in the deep, desiring to sit with Him, desiring to know the Holy Spirit, desiring to know what's right, desiring to know what's wrong. Listen, I have conversations with the Holy Ghost all the time and say, okay, now, am I being legalistic in this? Or am I being religious in this? Or is this right? All things. I mean, all the time. Folks, we don't realize how that as Christians, we can really get ignorant sometimes. You know? If death and life is in the power of our tongue, how many people have we killed? I mean, let's just start there. And then that ends the argument, right? All I'm saying is Christians, we're not perfect, but we're under grace, right? But is a difference between being, you know, just an idiot Christian that's just slaying people with your tongue and just living like this, but then holding on to Christianity as your excuse, or being a Christian who really wants to live in godliness and you're just kind of flipping and flopping around, you know? I mean, babies still mess their diapers. Right? But you don't throw the kid away and say, man, this kid's defective. What is this? You mean I had to clean this mess up? I was laughing. Joseph had a little video of Titus, and they had a towel wrapped around him, and he was there. He was like he was walking, you know, and they were holding him. And he went over there. The first thing he did is got over there close to a table and knocked off a coffee cup. And I was like, what else would a kid do? Make a mess. I mean, he's on his feet, make a mess, right? And so it's like, is that not what we do as Christians? We're going to do that. And there's a difference between you made a mess or you desire to create a mess. It's a big difference. And what sorts it out is the Holy Ghost. So what sorts it out is the Holy Ghost. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jump back up to 22, please. And when you had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now go to 23. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you have retained the sins of any, they are retained. Go to 24. Now, forget it. I was going too far. He said he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, right? And then he dealt with the sin issue. Y'all with me? So the answer for our situation right now, and the answer for America is, we got to preach the gospel. There's no other answer. We have to preach the gospel. Today, when I was going down to work and went through Batesville, they're having a tent revival, and it says the House of Miracles. And I said, Lord God, I've been praying for it every time I go by the tent. I was like, Jesus, if any place needs it, right here in the middle of it. Let that old boy preach like he's never preached before. Folks, but we got to, I don't know the door yet. I don't know the avenue yet. I don't know the venue yet for what God wants us to do. But I'm telling you, the answer is to preach the gospel. The answer is to get people saved. The answer is to get people to receive the Holy Spirit. And then let God deal with it. Not us, but God deal with it. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon people and let Him handle it. And don't get in fear. Fear shuts the door. Now, Psalms, I believe it's 75, says that Jesus has a cup in his hand. And he's going to pour out that cup over the earth. And the wine that comes forth from the cup, and he also has to pour out the dregs with it that come down to the earth. But the image I want you to get is Jesus has a cup in his hand. And then, if you go read Psalms 23, it says that you have a cup in you. Right? David prayed, fill my cup to overflowing. Jesus got a cup, you got a cup. I want you to get this imagery in your mind. Jesus has a cup, you got a cup. He wants to pour his cup into your cup. He wants you to be being filled. Ephesians 5:18, he wants you to be being filled. Huh? The Holy Spirit. Every day, be being filled. It says, don't be drunk on wine that's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it really should be translated, be being filled. Like be being, you know, constantly of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you've received from Jesus every morning, does that mean everything's going to be okay? I wish. There's a stupid part in me that from the day I've been saved, I want a break because I love Jesus. You know, like, I don't have to walk through it like everybody else does. And I get mad every now and then when things don't go right. And I'm like, what? You know, come on, Jesus. This ain't right. You know, some fire come out of heaven and some, you know, stuff to happen around here, man. But you know, he didn't promise us that. John 16 promises in this world we're going to have tribulation. Wow, what a promise. Thanks a lot, Lord. But then what did he say? Be of good cheer. Good cheer. All right? Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Wow. I ought to make a drink. Good cheer. I have to work on that with my sheets that have scriptures all on them. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So what I want to encourage you about tonight is just simply your relationship. It's just simply, are you getting your cup filled every day? Are you spending that time with Jesus to hear his voice? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to come into you and touch you? Minister to you? You know? Are you being filled? Or are you in fear? Are you in fear? Now, the Pentecostal side of me, you know, I want to have wild church services and lay hands on everybody and everybody slaying the Spirit and, you know, plop around like a fish out of water and pray in tongues and yip and holler and shout. And we need those. But I also want to tell you this. You know, can't have church every day. Not here. It's not what we got to go out in the world. We got to go preach. We got to go to our jobs. We got to go be around people. As much as I get irritated with people, but we got to go be around people. That's who God wants us to tell something to. That's who God wants us to minister to and get saved. You know, and I'm no special saint. I don't do everything right, but I've just learned in working out in the world, I just don't worry about it too much and I just be me. And then just like the other day, a guy got off the bulldozer and came over there and said, "Will you pray for me?" "So what's wrong?" He said, "I got to go in for a prostate operation." Prayed for him. He had his operation today. I got to call him tomorrow and see what's going on. He'll never be in church. Don't expect him to be in church. And I'll probably never be able to really disciple and put a whole lot in him. But, you know, he knew when it came down to the hard times, he knew who to talk to. That's how we got to all be. We've got to be in those places. We've got to be able to talk to people. We've got to become the world's greatest evangelist by just allowing people to come, and that we can be approached, and they're not going to receive a harsh word. "Well, you need to quit smoking and drinking and dancing." No. You need Jesus. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need to let the Holy Ghost clean you up. You need to just let me introduce you to Jesus so he can do it. And he's well able. He's well able to get everybody cleaned up. But, on the other hand, we all need a good jump start. And I thought, I may be adding to the Bible. Go read this. See, that's where you can just add to the Bible. I just knew it said right there that he laid hands on them. But it says he showed him his hands. So, you know, kind of added to that. It was a Pentecostal side of me coming out in the deal. But it says, go to verse 20 again. Yeah, chapter 20, verse 20. It says, he showed them his hands and his side. In other words, he showed them something real. Right? But let me put it this way. He showed the scars in his life that he was healed from. So, what do you have to show the world? The scars in your life that Jesus has healed you from. And when they saw something was real, they became glad. Amen. Amen? So what you're going to do is you're going to have to learn to drink from Jesus' cup. Let him fill your cup every day. You're going to have to learn, when you go out in the world, quit letting this fear direct you. But let the reverential fear of God direct you. Right? And you got to know that the answer for every person in every situation in life is Jesus. And what do they need to do? Receive the Holy Ghost so he can guide them through this life. Amen? So, this is what I want to do. Now I just want to be Pentecostal for a while. Is that okay? Can I just be Pentecostal tonight? Why don't we come up here to the front, and I want to just pray for each of you. I just want to just line up across the front here. I just want to go down. I want to lay hands on you. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that your cups are filled. I want to pray that as we go out into this world, that we can be the troopers of the army of God that we're supposed to be. It smells pretty. Now, Joe, I got just one request from your Pentecostal father. Just go over there and rescue my hat and just move it back a few sheets so that if somebody crashes on my hat, I don't have to worry about that. Isn't that carnal? Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This is a true story. We have some gladness right here. It's a true story. When my brother-in-law, Mike, passed away, and we were doing the funeral, we went to the graveside. It got kind of confusing there because the funeral home had told me I was going to go first, and then the Border Patrol was coming up to do the honors and all this. And then when I get there, they're there. And so I'm confused about and I took my hat off and I set my hat down, my good hat, set it down on the ground there. And when the guy got through, he stepped back and stepped right on my hat. And I saw it and I thought, I almost lost it right there. I was like, he stepped on my hat. Oh God, that ain't right. And so I said, just forget it. And so I went on, we did the service, finished. I reached back there to pick up my hat, and you could not even see where that man had stepped on my hat. I said, Jesus, that was a miracle. I wanted to say, hey, look, my hat survived. Just a little side note there. Cowboy's got to worry about his hat. You could shoot my dog before you step on my hat. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to be obedient to what you said. And we all come here tonight, we're just hungry. And we want our cups full, because Lord, we want to be obedient to you. We want to just walk with you, we want to just serve you, we want to just do what you want us to do, Lord. And so, we're out there in the world, people are discouraged and in despair and full of fear. But we got an answer, it's you, Jesus. So we stand up here tonight, Lord, and we just put ourselves in the position that, Lord, as I lay hands on these people, that we're going to receive from you and our cups are going to be filled. We're going to be prepared to go out there this week and everywhere that we go and every place that we cross and every person's path that we cross. Lord, that we can lead them to you. We can lead them to you. Now just worship the Lord there and just begin to praise him. And I'm just going to walk by and I'm going to put my hand on you. And just believe that when I do, that God's going to fill you and touch you. So just worship him there in your heart. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you for filling them full of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Just filling them full to overflowing tonight. Dear Holy Spirit, Lord, let that cup just be filled. Let the cup from heaven just pour out upon us, Lord. Let that cup just fill us, Lord God, so that we can go out there and be lights in this world. Lord, be the witnesses for you that we need to be. Lord God, that you can just lead us and guide us. And oh, Jesus, 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 thank you for filling us. Come on, Holy Spirit, and just fill us this night. Let our cups overflow. Lord, just let our cups just overflow this night. Lord, just let our cups just overflow this night. Lord, just let our cups just overflow this night. Lord, just let our cups just overflow this night. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, just I thank you for just filling her full of the Holy Spirit. Lord, just let our cup overflow this night. Just let our cups overflow this night, Lord, for you. Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you just fill us full to overflowing, that our cups this night are, Lord, are just, Lord, yeah, not the dregs, but that fresh flow of the Holy Spirit, Lord. New avenues. Lord God, just new avenues in our lives. Lord, just new avenues in our lives of just words and things that we've never even thought of, ministries we've never thought of, just ways to say things that we've never thought of, smiles that are anointed, Lord God, just handshakes that are anointed, Lord, Lord, I just declare it, Lord, just unbelievable, just things that we would say and people would say, wow, that was exactly what I was thinking this morning. Lord, just filled, that we just walk just full of you, Lord. We just walk just full of you in everything. Lord, just, Lord, open up our eyes to new areas of prayer. Lord, just new areas of prayer lives. Lord, just new words that we've never seen in the Bible. Lord, new ways of reading and studying and new ways of just coming into understandings like we've never seen before, Lord, that we begin to see things happening in the Bible and in words that just leap off the pages to us and that we just look at and we're just like, wow, Holy Ghost, you just showed us that. Never seen that before. Never seen that before. Lord, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that cups just overflow. That cups just overflow this night. Lord, that cups just overflow this night. That there's just a new fresh fire, a new desire, a new hunger, a new yearning in our hearts for you, Lord. Lord, just a remembrance of the past that brings joy and, Lord, direction and direction, Lord. And everything that we do, Lord, that there's just a mountains that are removed, Lord, just mountains that are removed and joys that flow and rivers that come out of rocks and just amazing things, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that our cups are just full to overflowing, Lord, languages, Lord, just languages. Tongues, new visions, new dreams. Lord God, just declare it in the name of Jesus, their cups to be full. Lord God, in all new ways, new songs, new music, new notes that, Lord, to just cause you, Holy Ghost, to just flow. That our cup is just so full. Lord, just so full that it overflows with joy and peace. Just overflows with joy and peace. Lord, that there's just a new grace and anointing in our lives. Things that we've never imagined just begin to come to pass. Lord, just things that we've never even thought of just come to pass. That Holy Spirit, you just fill us so full to overflowing. You just bring us such joy that our mornings are all just fresh and new with you, Lord. Fresh and new with you. Or just visions. Just visions and dreams. Lord, just filled, full to overflowing. Filled full to overflowing, Lord, with you. Lord, just filled full to overflowing with you. But Jesus, just full to overflowing. Filled every day, fresh and new. Lord, just every day, just fresh and new with you. Just fresh and new with you, Lord. Every day. That, Lord, that cup never runs dry. That cup never runs dry. But just filled. Every day fresh with you. Every day fresh with you. Every day, Lord, just like filling up at the filling station. We just learn how to stick the hose in and just pump that Holy Ghost into our cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just a full flow. Of just a full flow of the Holy Ghost. That, Lord, you give us signs and wonders. Give us signs and wonders. You give us signs and wonders, Lord. And just fill us so full. Lord, I declare that there's new doors opening. I declare that this church will be full of people that are hungry for you. That don't want to live in fear. But just want that flow of the Holy Ghost. Just want that flow of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I declare that that it'll start in this region and it'll begin to grow out and grow out and grow out and grow out. I declare, Lord God, that every outreach that we have, Lord, everything that's reaching out to this community, everything from children's church to youth, Lord God, to Tuesday night's meetings, to Friday night meetings, to Monday night meetings, Lord God, to just Sunday schools, to church services, to just everything, Lord, that you just begin to just cause those venues to be full. That hungry people want more of you. Hungry people just want more of you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I just declare it. I just declare it, Lord. Lord, I also pray, just like you did for the disciples, any place in our life that we're caught in sin, whether that sin is worry or offense or unforgiveness or whatever it would be. Lord, we don't want it. You said if we would get rid of it, it'll go away. So, Lord, we get rid of it, man. We don't want to grab hold of it and hold on to it. We want to throw it away. So, Lord, we just praise you for it. We thank you for it, Jesus. As you fill our cups full to overflowing. Now, I want to encourage you, don't miss an opportunity. It's going to take some time, because if you've been in a rut of missing the opportunities, been in a rut of getting full of fear or full of worry and missing God, you got to get yourself out of it. So the way to get yourself out of it is be real conscious of what you're doing. And then it's going to pop you out of that. And then you got to watch it. You got to stay on top of it. And then, you know, there are those times that I had a person come up to me the other day and said to me, this person, again, outside person, not from around here, and said to me, I remember exactly what you said to me 2 years ago. And I was like, wow, what'd I say? And they told me what they said, and I have no recollection, I can remember when I spoke to them, but I cannot even remember saying what I said. And they were like, those words you gave me, I clung to them, and I was like, man, you didn't hear me, you heard Jesus, because I have no earthly idea what I was saying. It was that's just, you know. So you got to understand, you got to remember, you're just going to the post office and you say good morning or God bless you or whatever. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's happening. God's doing a lot with the little that we have to give him. He's stretching as far as he can, making things work out, I guarantee you. So we need to be people of faith like that, you know, saying, hey, I'm going out there today and bless God. People are going to hear all kinds of good things. Amen. So don't lose it. Don't lose it. Amen. And don't ever let anybody step on your hat. Sure.